Love, Luck, and Layovers by The Yarn Maid's Tale. Read by Mist Marauder. Luck isn't on his side. That's what he tells Hen when he calls to inform her that his plane has been delayed. That he'll be stuck in Boston until the snowstorm over the Midwest finally clears up. Which, judging by the weather radar on his phone, probably won't be for a while. He thought the worst of it was going to be the 5-hour layover at Midway. But as he looks at the scattered travelers around him in the lounge area, he realizes that would be better than never taking off in the first place. That's what you get for flying to Massachusetts in the winter, Chim, Hen tuts. But how was Eli's vow renewal? Great. It was a beautiful ceremony. It was good to see him and Molly again, too, he says. Though I still don't understand why they had to do it in January. It's their anniversary, Chim. They got married in California, didn't they? Where the winters aren't miserable. Yeah, well, that's not the point, he grumbles, dragging a hand back through his hair. He's tired and wishes he could be the kind of person who slept in airports. But he's not, and he wants to find something to do for however long he's stuck here. I'm gonna go browse for a bit, see if I can find a book or something to keep me occupied. All right, let me know when you're on your way home, Hen says. And try not to get too stir-crazy. I hear the storm is supposed to last a while. Howie sighs and glances over at the flight information display board standing in the middle of the walkway. I'll do my best, but no promises. He bids her farewell before hanging up and slipping his phone back in his pocket. His stomach grumbles as he ducks into the closest little shop in the airport. His heart set on a probably overpriced bag of beef jerky and whatever paperback catches his eye first. Snack procured, he browses their selection of magazines and books before his eyes fall on a glossy teal paperback. It's the most recent book published by his favorite author, the graphic art of a person reading while lounging on a boat deck. All booked, he says, mostly to himself, as he plucks it off the shelf and reads the back. It's about a bookstore owner named Bex, who wins a couples cruise just a month after her boyfriend breaks up with her. So she asks her childhood best friend to fill in. He's not ashamed to admit he reads romance novels, or that they're his favorite genre. They're light and fun, and he never really has to worry about his favorite character being unceremoniously killed off for no other purpose than the author didn't know what to do with them. But beyond the book and the synopsis, what catches his eye is the author. Maddie Buckley. What he would give to actually meet her someday. To pick her brain about her characters and why she chooses to write the stories she does. How she blends sexy and funny and heartfelt and tender and a million other emotions he can't put into words. But she somehow manages to put into several. It's cheesy to say, but her books make him believe in love again. Hen laughed at him for a minute before realizing he was actually being serious the first time he told her this. Well, maybe 2 minutes before she leveled him with an earnest smile and told him she was happy he'd found something he really liked. Howie had read her last book in a single shift, eyes devouring it every moment he wasn't on call or asleep. He's pretty much read everything she's ever published. And this one was going to be no exception. He buys his items and walks out the front of the store, colliding with a petite brunette who was bobbing and weaving through the crowd. They both drop what they're carrying, his book falling to the ground to land among the scattered contents of her purse.
Whoa there, slow down. Are you okay?
He asks, as they both drop to their knees to start collecting their things. More embarrassed than anything else, she mutters. I am so, so sorry.
No harm, no foul, he says, as his eyes finally lock on hers.
And he can't believe his luck. He nearly falls backward in shock, his mouth falling open a little as she tilts her head to the side and cocks an eyebrow. Howie realizes he's officially acting weird. But if what's happening is what he thinks is happening, well, he thinks he might deserve it.
His eyes dart from the book in his hand and back to her. Swallowing, he opens it to the back page and sees the same eyes staring up at him in grayscale.
You're Maddie Buckley.
Maddie's eyes fall to the novel in his hands.
I am.
He means to say something like, I admire you, or I love your work, or I've always wanted to meet you. But it comes out as, I've always loved you. And he figures it can't get any worse than that.
That's, thank you?
Howie feels his face flush and clears his throat.
I mean, I just really wanted to meet you for a while. I really like your books. I'm not creepy, I swear.
He holds up the first three fingers on his right hand.
Scout's honor.
She must find his faux pas more charming than alarming, because she flashes a warm smile at him and stands, instead of telling him to get lost and running the other direction.
I've had worse run-ins with fans.
Maddie tilts her head towards the waiting area.
Wanna sit?
He follows her to the seating area and takes a seat, holding the book in his lap. Figures that he'd be speechless the moment he actually has a chance to ask the list of questions he's put together over the years.
I'd introduce myself, but it looks like you already know who I am.
Maddie extends her hand towards him, snapping him out of his thoughts.
Howie, he says, taking her hand in his. I'm sorry about earlier, you know, didn't mean to confess my love for you. I just got super nervous.
You don't say. She gives him a small smirk, tucking a lock of short brown hair behind her ear.
I know you probably don't want to entertain some random guy's questions about your work or your writing process, especially not in the middle of an airport in the middle of the night.
Maddie considers this.
I've had worse questions from worse people at worse times.
So what brings you to Boston?
A good friend of mine renewed his vows this weekend.
Flew in to see them, he replies, as he gestures towards the information display board.
Weather's not really cooperating with going home.
Maddie nods.
I understand that. Trying to get home myself.
Where's home? He asks.
Currently Los Angeles. Moved out there a couple years ago to be closer to my brother. He's a firefighter out there.
No way, me too, Howie says, pivoting to face her more directly.
I'm with the 118. Which house is your brother in?
133, Maddie replies.
Though he's been trying to transfer to the 118 for a while now. Seems like your house is really popular among the firefighters in L.A.
It's a great house. Maddie pulls a water bottle out of her purse and takes a sip.
So I heard.
But tell me, Howie, what got you into my books in the first place?
For the second time that night, Howie can feel his face flush with embarrassment.
He absentmindedly thumbs the pages of the book with his thumb as he weighs his answer.
I like that they're predictable,
which I know sounds bad, but hear me out. Howie tells her that there's something powerful, and knowing happily ever after is around the corner. That it's nice to think there's someone out there for everyone, even if it takes a couple tries to find them. He also tells her that he likes her characters. Likes how they feel real, and how they banter with one another. Maddie nods. See, most people tell me it's because I write great smut. Howie bursts out into laughter and nods. I would be remiss if I didn't also mention that. Yeah, well, I appreciate that it's like number 4 on your list, she says, as she bumps her shoulder into his. They talk for a while after that, about the books they like and the books they don't, about the movie adaptations that suck and the ones that actually do the book justice. They disagree on Fight Club, but he thinks he can cut her some slack on that one. She tells him she was in Boston for a conference, that she may or may not be working on another entry in her small town romance series. Hours pass, but they don't feel like hours. Between spurts of conversation and lulls of comfortable silence, it doesn't feel like much time has passed at all. But before long, the weather evidently clears enough for them to fly, and they're allowed to board their flight. He thinks this may be the end of it, that they're going to board the plane, sit in separate rows, and never see each other again when they land in Los Angeles. But he nearly laughs out loud when he realizes they're actually in the same row. This is starting to sound more and more like a romance novel the longer this day goes on, he mumbles under his breath. You know, you're right. I may just have to steal this for my next book. Ha, he says, as he offers to help her with her carry-on. Only if you mention me in the acknowledgments. She smiles at him and bats her eyes under long dark lashes. Her eyes catch his as she places her hand on his forearm. Play your cards right, you may even end up in the dedication. He'd be lying if he said he didn't think she was attractive. That the very mention of romance doesn't have his heart picking up a few more beats. Howie wonders if she feels it too, or if she's just being fun and flirty because he's a stranger she'll never see again, or if it's just a byproduct of meeting someone you admire in person. Maddie slides into her window seat, and he takes the aisle. Their conversation almost immediately picks up where they left off. She confirms that she's staying in Illinois for a day or two, a book signing she'd agreed 2 months ago, and that she had a flight scheduled for LA later in the week. As they get closer and closer to landing at Midway, he kind of wants to ask if he can see her again, if this was a friendship, or something more they might want to explore once they're both back in California. But he's also afraid that he might just be misreading everything that's been happening over the course of the past few hours. Doesn't hurt to hope, though, right? She asks for his copy of the book moments before the flight attendant announces they'll be making their descent shortly. Don't look at this until after you land, okay? Howie nods and tucks the book into his personal bag. Scouts on her. Good, she replies with a smile. I'll hold you to that. They land and disappear to their respective post-flight destinations. She went to the baggage claim to pick up her luggage, and him to the next terminal. He gives her a wave as they depart, each going their own separate ways. When he gets to his next gate, he takes a seat in another uncomfortable, hard plastic airport chair and pulls his book out. flips to the title page where he sees her neat, loopy handwriting. To Howie. Thank you for making my layover a little less boring. Maddie. P.S. Give me a call when you get to L.A. Earlier, he could have sworn that luck was not on his side. That flight delays were the worst, and his entire day was somewhat ruined by the fact that he'd spend most of it waiting around an airport. But, as he types Maddie's number into his phone, he thinks maybe delays aren't so bad after all. The end.